Welcome back. We want to thank Mark Stein from ESPN.com on the NBA. And now we're talking to one of the future, current, and rising stars of Major League Baseball, Nick Swisher. How are you?
Hey, Nick. What's happening, brother?
Listen, man, you and Eric Burns are two of my favorite people. When I look at the new generation of players, you guys are swimming in money. Well, you're about to be, I'm sure. But the reality is you still got to focus on getting ready for the season and also find a way to have some fun. I mean, what is your secret to enjoying this incredibly endless baseball season?
Well, I tell you what, man. I mean, if you've ever seen me play or this and that, you know I'm all about having fun. I mean, whether it's whether we're going out playing a game or whether I'm going golf with my buddies. I mean, I picked up two hobbies. I picked up golf and I picked up bowling. I just went and bought my own bowling ball yesterday. So that's kind of one of those things that kind of keeps me, just away from everything and just getting to relax, because I'm at the yard so much and I'm working out so hard trying to get myself physically ready. I think that the mental side of it really takes a toll, and I think that's one of the things I also need to work on.
And you, I learned you were a place kicker. I mean, you tell us that little story about kicking a 45-yard field goal against a pretty well-known Ohio State kicker.
No, me and Josh Houston, with Nugent and Houston, we were all there. And so one day I started goofing around with the fellas, and I said, hey, I'd like to kick a little bit. So they kind of looked at me, football guys. I was just a baseball guy. No one knew, what was going on. So we went on that little kicking contest and went back to 45 and ended up making it and ended up just walking off the field. And I think I left them with a nice little jaw-dropping incident. So it was fun.
Well, you guys, sometimes you're not given the credit for being the athletes that you are. Let's talk about what you've been doing since more of the talk is usually about things like steroids. Let's talk about what you actually do to get stronger. I mean, what are the things that baseball players do today that they didn't even think about doing 20 years ago?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we lift. It's funny, because I talked to my dad, and lifting was not a part of his regimen back when he played, because that wasn't the big thing. People were scared you were going to get too bulky, you're going to get too tied up, and you weren't going to be able to go out and perform the way you're supposed to. But for me, if it wasn't for the weight room, I there's no way I would be standing here even, on the phone with you today. This offseason, I changed my regimen up a little bit. Instead of just going to the gym and doing my regular weights and this and that, I worked out at a barn in the offseason, sort of a Rocky type,
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We went out and we do the regular workout, and then after that we started mixing in functional training. That's certain things that you would start doing. And my best buddy Matt Ward is a rancher, or used to be. Now he's working on being a farrier. Well, what a farrier is a person that puts the shoes on horses. And just the growth that I've seen him get in strength and the way he looks. He's just been out there baling hay, throwing hay, digging ditches, stuff like that. So this offseason, we went and did just certain stuff like chopping trees, busting up concrete, pushing my truck up and down fields, just certain things that'll push me to that next level.
Well, I got a quote from somebody that you know about one of the more interesting side stories of the World Series. Here's Eric Burns.
I don't blame Kenny Rogers for putting something on his head. I don't blame him for looking for that better grip. I don't even think it probably affected the game that much. If you want to talk technicalities, though, you got to look at this. It's the rules of the game state that you can't have any foreign substance out there. And if you do, it's immediate ejection and a 10-game suspension. So if you look at it that way, the bottom line is I don't care how cold it is out there, you're not allowed to have it.
What's your perspective, you look on that, the fact that Tony La Russa did not let that be an issue, and in the end, it didn't matter?
Well, I mean, Tony's a great guy, and, I guess that if he thought that one little incident was going to affect him and his team, then, I think he would have said something. But I think he had enough confidence in him and also his, his team to get them to the point where, something like that wouldn't bother. Although it was a little funny at the time, but, who really knows what it really was, so...
Speaking of pitchers, Nick Swisher, the loss of a Barry Zito. Tell me about the leadership on your team and how you guys deal with the loss of that kind of an important player.
Well, obviously, the guy's the highest paid pitcher in Major League Baseball. That's definitely a big part of the puzzle that's missing. But the one thing that the Yays have thrived on doing in past years is regardless of what person is left, there's always been that next guy to come up and fill the spot. And, you know, not only him, but losing Frank Thomas. You know, we lost Jay Payton. I mean, those are two or three huge guys that we lost, and three good buddies of mine. That's what I'm learning about this game, man, is that you can become friends, but you never know what's going to happen the next day.
And tell me about Frank Thomas and what he added, and how much of those rumors about personality and the negativity that was in Chicago were really just exaggerations based on maybe one or two personality conflicts up there.
Well, I think so. I just think that people believe way too much in what they read. You get one person that has one opinion, and because he's a very influential person, and people like to believe what he says in the paper or what he writes. I think that's ridiculous. You know, maybe I'm a little biased because Frank's one of my best buddies now. Not only was he a wonderful teammate, but he's just a great friend. I mean, anything I needed, regardless of what time it was, you know, I mean, he was always there for me, anything I needed. So for all those people that wrote all those bad stuff about him, I think those guys are ridiculous because they have absolutely no idea. You know, he might have been in a bad mood that day. And athletes don't always want to talk to the media. I mean, I know it is part of the job, but... You know, hey, some guy wrote some bad stuff about it, people started believing it, and now that's the rap he has. And I think it's a ridiculous rap because he's an awesome guy, an unbelievable person, and a great family man. So,
you know, it's interesting how you can get pigeonholed in any sport based on a couple people, a couple things that happen. With Frank Thomas, do you think he made a mistake by leaving, though, when Oakland had welcomed him, when the chemistry there was so good that it was conducive to his success?
Well, I can't blame him. I was in Europe at the time when he signed, and then when I came home, I found out he was going to the Blue Jays. I called him first thing and said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he says, "Wish I tried to call you, man." And then I had like 10 messages missed from him. But you know, I think Oakland was where he really wanted to stay. But I can't blame the guy, man. This is just a last hurrah. He's got a couple more good years in his body. And, best of luck to him. I mean, I know that, you know, the one thing that I guess you can always think of is you got to get it while the getting is good. And the getting has been good for him this past year. I wish we could have him back, but, hey, you know, that's just kind of how things work out sometimes.
Let's talk about Billy Beane. We've talked on the show with Theo Epstein and Josh Burns and some of the general managers around the league down there in Atlanta about the styles of leadership that the managers provide and also general managers. One of the things I'm always interested in is how much communication happens with the general manager. Do you ever hear some feedback from them in terms of their expectations about your role? How well do the players individually feel that their roles are well defined for them so they know what the expectations are and what they should be doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And for us, I think we got the, you know, I've never ever had another one, but I don't see one ever being better than Billy Beane in our general manager. I mean, he's an absolute genius. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has a game plan for everybody, even though, you know, sometimes we never ever really know what they are. But, hey, I mean, that's just why you just go out there and keep playing hard. He's a guy that you want to play for. He's a guy that if you do something wrong, which, you know, I've done a couple times, I mean, you know, he's gonna get on you a little bit. But once you walk away, he's going to give you that, you know, pat on the butt and say, "Hey, man, I got your back anytime you need it." So he's a hands-on guy. I love that. You know, he's got some fire, and I think that's someone that you want to play for.
Nick Swisher, how many of the managers that you work with and the coaches have taken the time to sit you down and say, you know, this is what we expect of you. This is your role. This is where you can improve. Because my experience has been, surprisingly, even at that highest level of that sport, it often doesn't happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've developed a couple of great relationships with some of the coaches that have came through and left. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's one of the things where when I was, you know, growing up around the game, I guess I expected so much of myself that regardless of what anyone expected from me, my expectations were so much higher. Just like I think any great athlete would, I always wanted to surpass everything that people thought I was going to do. And so, I mean, hey, maybe my goals are set too high, but I would much rather try and reach for something so far away rather than pick a goal that I knew I could obtain and feel good about myself. Because in that sense, it always keeps me working. It always keeps me moving to that next level.
You guys seemed to have a pretty good chemistry last year. Was it a big surprise to you to have your manager fired?
I don't know. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, Billy Dean knows what he's doing. And regardless of whatever move he makes, you know, I know for me, I've got his back 110% because, I mean, he's the reason I'm here today. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, losing Maka, I mean, obviously there were some things that some of the guys said that, you know, they didn't get along with, but hey, I mean, everyone's got their own opinion, just like, you know, anyone's entitled to. And, you know, we're just really excited right now for Bob Guerin to take over the reins and really excited to see what, you know, what kind of manager he's going to turn into.
When we come back, we're going to go to break. When we come back in our last couple of minutes with Nick Swisher, we're going to talk about Bob Guerin, about the new manager, guy that's never been a manager before on the major league level, and what that means, how he's setting this up. Because head games is all about head games, all about how the coach leads those players and guys that are tremendously talented sometimes can do a lot better with great leadership. When we come back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. And coming up, Herman Edwards, Chiefs coach and best friend of Tony Dungy.